Hello, everybody out there. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you are joining us now live. Some of you may be hearing this at a later time on our website. But whichever way, we're glad you're joining us. And we're excited about today's show. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister, along with my associate pastor, Pastor Jim. And you were hosting the show last week while I was in Indiana.
I did.
You had a great time, I hear.
Great time with Betty and with Connie.
With Connie and Betty. That's great. And Nana's just blown in here.
Hi.
Hey, there you go, Nan.
I'm here.
All right. We're looking forward to today's show. I appreciate you hosting last week. And it's so cool that we've got a radio staff, really, that can take over, you know. I had to be out of town for the baby dedication of my great-granddaughters, my identical twin miracle babies, Aaliyah and Briley, who were dedicated last Sunday at their church in Indiana. And it was so cool. It was beautiful. I mean, really a nice, nice time of baby dedication.
And tell us how you felt.
Very proud.
Proud.
Very proud. And, you know, my... Yeah, the family was all there, so I won't even go into all of them, but there were so many of them that we took up about two rows. So a lot of family and just a lot of fun to be there to support Ryland and Cole and the babies. And they were beautiful, too. They didn't cry. You know how I've done a lot of baby dedications through the years at church, and I've had some that, oh, boy, the babies were pistols, but these girls were really, really good. So that was exciting. So anyway, glad to be back in my chair right here on the air. In my chair on the air, Nan.
Ooh, it sounds like a poem.
It does. It sounds like a poem. And you're the poem writer.
The poem writer.
Mm-hmm. And then we got our wonderful engineer in there, Cedric, the new daddy himself. So you're doing okay there, buddy. Yeah, surviving.
Look at that grin on his
I know,
face.
Look at his grin. He's happy. He's happy. A young daddy, and he's a first baby, and he's all happy. So it's cool what happens. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this show today. This is Thanksgiving weekend, almost ready for Thanksgiving. And everybody's making their plans for Turkey Day. We had Turkey Day at church a few minutes ago, and I am stuffed, and we had stuffing.
We had different kinds of stuffing, too.
We did.
Yeah. Ray was worried that nobody was going to bring stuffing. He almost went to that food service there on Gulf to Bay,
right,
and was going to buy 10 pounds of stuffing. I'm glad he didn't, because I know
we had two or three
different types of stuffing.
Yeah,
so we were set,
and everything else, and Connie's homemade pecan pie.
And it's funny, because what went first before the store-bought? Connie's. What?
Connie's pie.
Somebody brought in a store-bought.
Well, I did that on purpose.
Oh, okay.
That's the decoy. I wanted you all to eat Publix pie to save more of Connie's best stuff for me. Oh. How does that sound? Yeah,
that really sounds nice. Very caring and loving. Very generous on your part there, Pastor.
Thank you there, Nan.
You're welcome.
Sweet, kind, and lovely bee.
Sweet, kind, and lovely bee.
Okay, well, not exactly, but I admit it. I bought that pie as a decoy.
Did you seriously buy
it? I seriously did, but you know what? It didn't work, because everybody saw Connie's pie, and it just looked so much better.
The container probably gave it away.
Even though it was out of the container, you could tell by the crust. The store-bought pie had the perfect crust. I mean, it was absolutely perfect. The homemade pie did not, so it was easy to tell. Now we know.
That's how we know.
Connie, you hear what he's saying? I wonder if she's listening. No, she's sleeping right now.
You know what? We should have brought Cedric a plate of food, because we had so much. We apologize. Next meal, we'll bring you a plate of food.
I have turkey out in my trunk.
Right. So anyway, we had Turkey Day at Beacon of Hope today after the service, and it was a lot of fun. And, you know, if you out there are in the Tampa Bay area and you don't have a church you go to regularly, we invite you to Beacon of Hope. We are very eclectic. We're made up of different people, groups, and... But I tell you what, Nan, we just have fun together. We just have a lot of fun. And usually you're the brunt of a whole lot of jokes, right?
Yes, usually I am.
Which you don't mind at all, do you?
Not at all.
The answer is no, I don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
No, but we have a great time.
We have a great time. You know, I was thinking this morning, I mean, it was a powerful, I thought it was an absolutely powerful, I mean, from the beginning song, I
wasn't
could just
it
feel
the
anointing.
Electricity, the anointing
like,
of God.
And the Lord just spoke to me and says, I am just going to move in a mighty way here today.
Yes.
And he did.
And he did.
And he did.
Lives were changed.
Lives were changed.
Woo!
It was fantastic. Well, we do, we just enjoy each other's company. We love each other very much. And, you know, it's, you know, there's no one that I'm aware of that is disgruntled with anybody or none of that stuff goes on. We just all just love each other and just love each other with the love of the Lord. And people can sense that as we've had a couple different people come to the church here that have not really been attending a very long time. And they can sense and see that love that's exhibited amongst us. And, you know, they kind of like want to be a part of that because
feel
that, you know,
it's what it's all about. Isn't that what the body of believers should be?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And, you know, today it did feel, I don't know, special.
It did, didn't it? Electric,
you know, I think, and maybe, I don't know. I mean, God just, you could tell something, God was going to sovereignly move. I mean, even in the praise and worship, that, and the word and, you know, the ministry, and even...
Just great.
Even the Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, it was
all perfect and great. And, you know, if you are not a part of we don't try to steal people from other churches, but if you are out there and you're not a part of a ministry, at least come and try and see what you think at Beacon, because we're comfortable. People are comfortable together and in the setting of worshiping God. And we're all about the word. Our slogan for our ministry is where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. That's what we're all about. And it was just a great time. So God bless you, and you know you're welcome. Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Wednesday nights at 7. And we'll talk more about what happens on Wednesday night in a few minutes. Prayer requests, PJ, they're just coming in so many every single day now.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's like it's ramped up a notch.
It seems like it has. Maybe it's that time of year. I don't know.
Maybe it is. People are hurting. There's things going on.
And I know when I get home, I have two to send out as soon as I get home. But we also get praise reports back. Betty or Megan sent us a praise report.
Yes.
For a baby that we had prayed for that was born like 2 months premature.
Right.
And the baby's fine. Baby's thriving. So, you know, I like getting those back too. But we do have a prayer ministry, and we believe
absolutely
that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. We believe in praying for healing,
amen,
for deliverance, for safety, whatever the need is.
Amen. Whatever
for finances,
the need.
You know, we believe in praying for those things, and we believe that God will answer. And we have seen miraculous answers to prayer.
He's still doing miracles in this day and age, you know.
Amen.
And if you are skeptical, one of those out there, and you say, I don't know about that miracle stuff, let me tell you, we are seeing it all the time. This has been a year of miracles, Nan, in the ministry at Beacon, don't you think?
There's just been so many answers to prayer. You know, it's been very powerful.
Amen.
It's been very powerful. And, you know, you have a lot of people binding together and praying. And there's power in that binding together and praying.
Oh, know? Absolutely. Today we're going to talk about what to do when bad things happen to good people. You say, well, I've heard about that before. I mean, bad things to good people. Yeah, things happen that are difficult sometimes. And we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you have your Bibles. Let's listen to this first song by Brian Duncan. It's a new one, I See You.
I see you watching over me every day another way that I can see the love. And I see you looking out for me. All I want to do is thank you. Under a bridge or up on a mountain, see you in everything, like stars I'm counting. Streets of gold or just mud and gravel, you're always with me on this road I travel. Straight and narrow, goes up and down, and don't leave a place for me to turn around. And I can make it 'cause you're waving me through, yeah.
or none to speak of. No way I'm gonna lose it. I trust in your love. Whatever comes, I'd rather face it all together. I see a clue, know it's you, I remember.
Just singing up a storm over here, Nan.
I thought I was going to have to hold this chair still or something.
I know. He's moving all over the place, dancing in his chair.
He is.
You've heard that before, I take it. I have not.
On the radio, and I would always crank this song way up.
Oh.
And pity the poor people that were having to be around me when I was, because I'd sing this at the top of my life. I love this song.
Why is this so important to you, besides the beat is great?
Well, it kind of sounds like, you know,
Caribbean.
Well, kind of Billy Joel,
right.
You know, but just, you know, I see you watching over me,
yes,
every day, every way. And I love what Brian Duncan says in this song about it. You know, it's straight and narrow, but it's up and down.
Right.
You know, it's straight and narrow, but it's up and down. And, you know, it's not, you know, all things are possible, but not always easy.
Right.
You know, it's realistic. You know, it's not just, oh, everything's fine. You get saved. Everything's fine. Never a problem. And I know I read about what happened to him. He'd been through some rough times because he had a ministry back in the 80s.
Okay.
And, you know, had some issues. This was kind of his comeback song. And it's just an honest song. I mean, it's a great song to sing anyway.
Right.
But it's just you listen to the lyrics. It's an honest song about the Christian walk.
Right. Because it isn't always easy.
Right.
And we find that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It can't have a better segue than this, because it seems like everything is turning bad for the children of Israel, Nan. I love this passage of Scripture. I love teaching it today. It's been one of my favorite passages for years, because it teaches us so many of the principles of God that work. This is not just for thousands of years ago. This is for right now. That's what the Bible is, so relevant. Don't you think?
Yes. One thing I like to say to the listening audience, if they don't normally take notes, I would encourage them to grab a pencil and paper right now. Because the notes that I was able to take this morning, you had pointed items of certain things,
yeah,
the step of what happened to make what happened happened, if that
right
makes sense.
Right.
And so I would really encourage anyone listening they'll be able to take some notes. I mean, all the radio shows are very, very good. This particular one, because of the notes I was able to take off of it today,
yeah,
is going to be similar to what,
right,
you know, would be here. It would be valuable notes for them to be able
grab
to have
your pen and paper
future,
yeah,
time.
Thank you for sharing that. All right, we find Jehoshaphat, the ruler of Israel at this time. Tell me more about Jehoshaphat, PJ.
Okay, he was one of the good kings of Judah.
Right.
They, you know, you think after Solomon, of course, the kingdom of Israel split into the northern kingdom, which kept the name Israel, the southern kingdom, which kept the name Judah. All of Israel's kings were bad. There wasn't a good one in the bunch. Judah had some good, some bad. Jehoshaphat was one of the good ones. Generally, he followed after the Lord, strictly after the Lord God. He made a couple of mistakes, and that had ramifications down the line. But in general, he was a good king. He loved the Lord. It says that he followed after the example of David, his father.
Right.
And that was a pretty good example.
Pretty good example.
To be following. And he did, you know, he did trust the Lord. The worst thing he did was align himself with King Ahab of Israel.
Right.
That made trouble down the line, and even for Jehoshaphat. But in general, he was good. During his time, Judah was prosperous. And, you know, God tended to prosper the good kings.
Absolutely.
And, but Judah was prosperous. And I think I know where we're going to go with in chapter 20. It's going to be like when good things happen, when bad things happen, when bad things happen to good kings.
Right. Right. It's really what's
because
happening.
Because it's almost
yeah.
like they were comfortable. Everything
right.
was going
Everything
real good.
Everything was going good.
And then
they get bad news.
They get real bad news.
So in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles, about verse 1, there is a message that's sent. It's really an intelligence report, it says in the Message Bible. And it says a huge force is on its way from beyond the Dead Sea to fight you. There's no time to waste. They're already at this certain place, which is not far away. So Jehoshaphat the king gets this intelligence report, and it is pretty scary. And he has a choice right there to just bury his head in the sand, which is what so many people do, Nan. When they get bad news, they will just act like it didn't happen. Ever been there? I mean, a lot of us have. And we don't deal with it. Jehoshaphat did deal with it. And that's very commendable. But a lot of people, when they get bad news, they really go into denial. They really do their best to ignore that they need to do something about the bad news.
I know there's someone in my family who's like that.
Okay.
More than one, actually. And, you know, when they get the bad news, I mean, like, I'll come out and say, so what's happening? You know, with the medical, whatever's happening. What was that? I mean, I just get right down and want to know what's going on, you know, with things is my approach.
Sure. Things.
That's not their approach.
Right.
Their approach is, you know, ostrich head in the sand.
Right.
Don't want to, you know, I'll come up when it all clears and not face it head on like they need to face it.
But in this case, this story's talking about dealing with it right away
right.
because and a lot of times in our situations that the devil throws our way and that happen in life, there is like a time frame that you got to be doing something or it's going to get worse.
Right.
And in this case, it says in verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, shaken, Jehoshaphat prayed. Only three words in that sentence, and I love it. Shaken, comma, Jehoshaphat prayed. He didn't just go shaken, he left town, or, you know, upset, he did nothing about it. It says he did something about it, Nan. What did he do? He prayed.
He prayed.
Yeah, he got serious about it, and he prayed, and he went to God for help, and he ordered a nationwide fast. Why would he do that, PJ?
Well, fasting is a sign of repentance and a sign of, I mean, it's just a way to strengthen yourselves spiritually. And
right.
And I believe this fast kind of opened the door for everything else that was going to happen.
Right. Yeah. So he calls the country and he says, we got to unite. We got to unite in seeking God's help. It's not unite and ignore. It's unite and do something about this mess, okay? And then in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat takes a position before the assembled people of Judah and Jerusalem and at the temple of God in front of the new courtyard. And he really does something here. So if you're taking notes, point one is this. When bad things happen, it's time to get to really focus in. And what Jehoshaphat did was he called for concentrated, focused prayer of agreement with the people. He didn't just say, well, if I don't tell them that this is going to happen, we'll just ignore it. Maybe it'll go away. I think a lot of people do that, Nan.
That's like our prayer line.
Right.
People unify and pray.
Right. Exactly. So point one, Jehoshaphat called a concentrated, focused fast and prayer time. Now, the second thing he does here is he steps up and he takes leadership role.
Because, you know, PJ, you and I are pastoring, have been for years, and there's a lot of people out there that have been in ministry positions in church and have walked away and just, hey, it's too tough. It's too hard. I don't want to do it. It drives me crazy, blah, 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 right?
Yeah, well, you can try and run away. Take it from somebody who did. He's not going to let you run away.
Both of us, yeah.
Yeah, if he put that call on your life, you know, if there's somebody out there who's been a pastor, maybe you're thinking, I've done some things, or for whatever reason you believe that God can't use you, let him use you. You know, turn around whatever's going on and let him use you. Because he did the same thing with both Pastor Marcia and I. I ran away. I swore never was I going to do this again.
It's hard. It's not easy. I was out of church for 9 years. And the other, three or four weeks ago on a Wednesday night, we had a couple come to church. And I was shocked to hear one of them say that they had been a graduate of Bible school and then a couple years in seminary and really basically out of the ministry for a period of time. And that does happen. And there might be some of you out there right now who are saying, yeah, that's me. Okay. God wants to use you.
Right.
I mean, there's so much to be done for the kingdom of God before Jesus comes. There's no time to sit around and on our hands, you know, and just say, I just don't feel like it, or I'm too lazy, or I'm too, complacency and laziness drives me crazy.
I know.
You know?
I know. No, I was just thinking, I mean, you guys are talking about pastors and thing. I'm not a pastor, but I know what it's like to be in attendance at church and then miss about 7 years is what I missed, you know.
Right.
And I would encourage people to find themselves a good church. Beacon's a great church, but find themselves a good
Absolutely.
Church and get back in the saddle again.
Absolutely,
you know?
Because it changes
still
your
there.
Life.
There's still stuff that God
right.
wants to do through them,
right.
through people. You know, he's used me in different small little kind of ways and things since I've come back to him.
Well, big ways, too. God's used you a lot.
But he's, he's not a respected person. What he does for Pastor Jim, what he does for you, he'll do through me, he'll do through anyone.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing heart.
So that's the second point. Take your rightful position of leadership. Step up to the plate. Maybe you're a prayer. Maybe you're an intercessor. Mm-hmm. God knows we need more prayers. Mm-hmm. We need more people that are really going, standing in the gap for people and praying for them. Third thing that he does, and now we're in about verse what? Can you tell, PJ? Maybe six or seven?
Six.
Okay, go ahead. Explain what he does.
Well, he gets up and he prays, and I love his prayer. When you were going through it this morning, I was looking over it, and he reminds God of what God had done.
That's it right there. That's point number three. Okay, guys, when bad things happen to good people, remind God of the good things he's done and his power and his ability.
Right, because in verse 6, it's, okay, Lord, aren't you the God of heaven?
Right.
We know you are.
Yeah.
And then he said in verse 7 about how Israel came into the promised land to begin with and drove out the inhabitants.
In other words, God, you've already done some miracles for us. Now we're just in a tough spot.
Right. In verse 8, now, Israel, we drove them out. We built you a house. We built a temple. And then in verse 9, he goes back to what Solomon prayed about. Should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house, talking about the temple, and before thee, for thy name is in this house. And cry to thee in our distress, and thou will hear and deliver us. He was quoting what Solomon had prayed when he dedicated the
yes.
temple. So again, we need sometimes to remind God of, and I think like verse 6, we need to remind God of who he is. And sometimes that's more for us.
Right.
It helps us to hear ourselves
it's
say that.
It's not that God doesn't remember who he is. How great he is.
He's
right?
not senile,
Right, exactly. But when we are going back over what God stands for, what he does,
we rehearse who he is and what he does.
There you go. I like that. We rehearse who he is and what he does. And that is point three. When bad things happen to good people, you got to go back over what God has done. Because what happens is it's a faith builder for you as you are beginning to rehearse it. Talk to me about that, Nan. When you talk about stuff that's happened to you through the years and you remember how God met your need right then. What does it do for you?
It increases my faith. I mean, you know, I can, you know, I have notes in Bible where Lord would lead me certain scripture at certain times. And I would date it and I would kind of make a little note there of what was going on. I can, if I opened up to some of those passages now, it brings me back to literally remembering that exact situation, whatever was going on and how he moved.
And then what
situation.
Happens to your faith?
It increases.
It increases. It goes big up. Time. It doesn't yes. go down.
I think sometimes we forget some of the things.
Yes.
We're in a panic mode. We start praying, oh, God, God, please help, please help,
help,
please
help, help,
help, help, help. And he does. He moves and he does. So then we beat bop along in life and we kind of sometimes forget. I'm not, right. I'll speak for myself. Sometimes forget maybe some of those things that he's that were big deals at the time.
Right.
But he took care of the big deal, which it was. But then we kind of keep going on our little journey and until we need another big help, help, help situation going.
Well, one of the goals of this radio show today is to remind us of what to do when the attack comes or when the bad news from the doctor or whatever the case may be, the losing a job, whatever happens, instead of going just in, you said the word, panic mode, anxiety stricken, down for the count, in bed with covers over your head for days, instead of doing that, we're going to give you several steps today that work because these are straight out of the Word of God. And the third one is rehearse the answers to prayer. Talk
right.
about that.
Well, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So when you're quoting, when you're just extolling God, you know, praising him, you know, you praise him for the things, you know, you thank him for what he's done. You praise him for who he is.
Right.
And when you do that, it strengthens your own faith because you're hearing it out of your mouth. You're hearing the word of God and it strengthens your faith.
Right.
And then you rehearse maybe what he's done in the past for you. Lord, you remember that time when you did this and this. I remember, Lord, when you healed so-and-so. You know, and that's okay. Remind him of that. I remember, Lord, you promised in your word, Isaiah 53:4, that you're going to do this healing.
Amen.
And it's okay to remind him of that.
And when we do, and this is what Jehoshaphat was doing here, he was going back and saying, God, you did this. You brought us out of Egypt, you've done all these things, God. And by the way, did you remember we're in a mess right now?
Right.
Yeah. But I love number four here. And I think we're in about verse, what is it, 8 or 9? Where when the worst happens, it says in the Message Bible, whether war or flood or disease or famine.
It's 9.
9. And we take our place before this temple. Okay, not if the worst happens, because we can all relate to times when the worst happened, okay? When there was the Great Recession of 08 for me in real estate, when this happened or that happened, and we all have those situations in our lives, then it wasn't like if it happens, it does. I mean,
it did. Yeah.
It did. Life happens. Nan talked to me about that. Has everything always been peachy keen for you?
No.
Really?
It hasn't.
You've had rough times?
I've had rough times. And in those rough times, I've seen God move.
There you go.
And increase my faith.
Woo!
You know, yeah, you can reflect back on those times, you know, and, you know, some people might say, but you don't know what's happening with me. Well, you know, you're right. I don't. God does.
God
Remind
does.
Him of what he's done in the past. Trust him for what he's going to do for you now.
Woo! When the worst happens.
When the worst happens.
Whether war or flood or disease or famine. Okay, and we take our place before this temple. We know you are personally present in this place. I love that in the Message Bible. I mean, we know this is not an exercise in futility. Talk to me about all this, PJ. It's not an exercise in futility.
Absolutely not. And again, I believe, you know, Jehoshaphat had in mind what Solomon prayed, that, you know, when this happens and they turn to you and pray to this temple for your name is there. Literally, it says your name is there. That means you are there.
Right.
And we know the glory cloud. We know when Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory cloud rested upon it.
Yes.
And the priests couldn't even stand up to do their priestly duties. And, you know, the glory lived there. And Jehoshaphat was reminded of that and said, your name, you yourself live here.
Right.
And it's almost like, do you want your house to get torn down?
Right. So, like, do you realize? I mean, God, you know.
Hello.
Knock, knock, knock. Do you realize that you've done all this and you've established this home, you know, the tabernacle and all these things, and yet we're in danger of all of us being annihilated and, of course, your temple destroyed and all that.
Well, and he reminds him, God, he says, you know what? When we stand before here and cry to you in our distress, then you will hear and deliver.
Ah.
You know, he took that, he believed that promise that when people at that point, when that point in time, when they would pray toward Jerusalem, right, toward the temple, God would hear and he would deliver them.
Amen. Which goes right back to Matthew 19:26 that we sang this morning that Jesus quoted, all things are possible to him who believes. Okay. And Jesus said that. Hey, did you not know that anything is possible if you just believe?
Right.
It comes right down to that. And so Jehoshaphat is standing here going, hey, when the worst happens, we know. We've seen you at work. You can settle all this. Man, how big is our God anyway?
He's pretty big. When you were saying, you know, you say to God, you know, we've seen you do all this.
Right.
That's where it's so important for us when God does things in our lives to share. You give an opportunity at church this morning when having praise reports. On Wednesday nights, we share praise reports. That maybe...
What's a praise report? Well, somebody out there may be saying, okay, I don't know
I'm
what
sorry.
That is.
Yeah, something really great that God did for
an
me.
An answer to prayer.
An answer to a prayer.
Right.
And you know, sometimes it also increases my faith when I hear other people's praise reports and how God's moving in them. I can reflect back on my own. Mm-hmm. I can also reflect on the praise reports, the reports of answered prayer that I hear from my brothers and sisters.
Oh, amen. It just does something for you. So number four, if you're writing those down, is we know you are present here. We know you're here. We know what you do. We know you, right?
And I just went back and looked at Solomon's prayer of dedication. And, you know, like I said, Jehoshaphat kind of quotes from it. And it's neat to notice that tucked in between is when thy people, when thy people, when uh-huh. thy people, when the foreigners, uh-huh. when thy people. It's just kind of neat that Solomon, in his prayer, remembered the foreigners doing the same thing.
Right.
You know, so that they're going to hear about the renown of God.
Right.
And I say that to say this, if you feel like, well, I can't do this, I can't pray because I'm not, you know, I'm not a Christian, or I've done this or I've done that. God just says poo-poo on all that, you know. He just poo-poos that.
There you go.
Because
that's what he puts it.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Because, I mean, you know, I take the verses earlier that Solomon prayed. It's like it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you think you're a foreigner, like Ruth. Sorry,
right.
I got off on this tangent.
No, that's a good point.
But like Ruth.
It's an excellent point.
When Ruth, she followed her mother-in-law from Moab, because her mother-in-law was Jewish,
right.
was an Israelite, followed her from Moab back to Bethlehem.
Right.
You know, she aligned herself. She said, your people are my people, your God is my God. That was aligning herself with Israel.
Amen.
And with the God
Amen.
Of Israel. And yet, you know, when she worked for Boaz and he, you know, he blessed her, and she said, why are you doing all this good stuff for me, a foreigner? She still saw herself as outside the covenant.
Right.
And I think we have so many people today, they don't think they can do what we're talking about here, reminding God of his goodness, reminding him of his promises.
They don't think they're worthy to do that, right?
Because whatever has happened in their lives,
right.
they think, well, I can't do this. Well, Solomon said, no, when the foreigners, and they will do this, the foreigners will pray. You know, and here was, maybe he was looking back to his ancestress Ruth and thinking, you know, she did the same thing. She didn't think right. she was worthy to be a part of the covenant. And, you know, if you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're worthy.
Amen. Amen. That's your righteousness. So, woo, praise God. And so he's reminding God and saying, hey, God, I remember, we remember all the stuff you've done. We remember it all. Okay. And, let's see. We know that you will listen and give victory. Okay. That is a positive statement. Verse 10 through Let's go through through 12. Nan, can you read 10 through 11 and 12, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, goody, Nan. Which version do you have?
Take a guess.
All right.
Yes, King James. King James.
And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. For our God wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great... I'm having difficulties here. O my Lord, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
Oh, I love all that. Explain that paragraph, PJ. I love that paragraph because he's really reminding God of some things, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I love it, too, because I'd forgotten about that. When Israel came out of Egypt, and after they spent a few years moseying around Mount Sinai.
40 years, actually.
When they were getting ready to enter into the promised land, then God forbid them to attack Moab and Edom. And because the Moab and Edom, well, Edom was, they were the sons of Esau.
Esau, right.
Moab were was one of the sons of Lot. So God said, no, you, not the Ammonites, not the Moabites, not
right.
the Edomites.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yes, leave them alone.
You can't attack any of them. And Jehoshaphat says, see how they're repaying your kindness?
Right.
We could have destroyed them then, and we didn't. You told us not to. And see how they repay this kindness that you gave.
So he's
them.
Stating his case. He's arguing his case. And I love that. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, come before the Lord and argue your case. Okay. And Jehoshaphat's doing this very thing. Hey, you know, look what happened. Mm-hmm. And now they are turning on us, God. This isn't fair. You know, it's declaring your case. This isn't fair. Go ahead.
And he says, beginning of verse 12, won't you finally judge them? Look, you were nice to them. They rejected it. It's
right.
Please judge them because, he goes on to say, we're powerless
right.
before this great, our little scrawny army and their huge army.
Right.
We're powerless against them, but we don't know what to do. And it's like, you know, it's an A term, you know, hitting bottom, coming to the
right.
end of your rope, total surrender. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Which reminds me of drug addiction and alcoholism. And I never thought about it till right now. But when you're at the bottom of the barrel and you sincerely want help, okay, and you realize that all this is coming at you and you don't have any clue on how to get out of it, step one in AA...
Admit that you're powerless.
Admit that you're powerless. Isn't this interesting, mm-hmm. you know? And I wholeheartedly believe in that program because I've seen the results of it. But it starts with an admission of humility, of saying, I can't fix this. I can't fix this. If you're taking notes, point number 5 is declare your dependence on God. Say, God, I can't fix it. You know, I am powerless. We are powerless to do anything about it. You know, we just have to turn it over to God.
Right, right. There's no other thing that we can do. And Jehoshaphat said, we're powerless against these hordes that are coming against us.
Right.
You know, I don't know how many there were, but obviously they must have outnumbered the army of Judah by about probably 3-1 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he, you know... Jehoshaphat could have said, well, you know what, we're going to go try. We'll probably get defeated, but at least we're going to try. No, he said, we don't know what to do, God. Give us help here. Give us wisdom. Show us what to do. We're going to look to you.
I love that verse. I mean, I have remembered that phrase for years, different times in my life. You know, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Okay? Talk to me about that, Nan. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you.
In some things in my life, I've been, I guess, kind of like backed into a corner.
Okay.
And not knowing what to do.
Right.
And you see the enemy coming at you, whatever the enemy using people around you, okay, or situations, circumstances, whatever's happening.
Or disease or job loss. It can be lots of things.
Yeah, you know, not knowing, you know, what to do, you just trust him, pray to him, do the things that we're bulleting it today.
Right.
Know? As bullet items, almost on their notes. Just lean to him, and he'll see you through.
Right.
You know, remind him of what he's done. I mean, I had some things come at me that I had no idea what I was going to do,
right,
how I was going to handle it, or what the end result was going to be. But he did, and I trusted him. I trusted him and reflected on times he'd been with me in the past circumstances and how he brought me through those. Well, if he brought me through those, he'll bring me through them. In a sense, that was reminding him, this is what
That's
you've done for me in the past. I know you're going to do something for me now. Help me know what to do.
And don't you think God loves it when we say, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you? Don't you think he loves that confession of our own powerlessness and his great power? But, our eyes are on you.
Well, the dependency that we have upon him. You know, we need to be dependent upon him.
Right.
And it's like being a mom. I can talk about that, being a mom. And knowing when Bradley was a little youngster, I mean, he was dependent on me.
Right.
And I delighted in doing things to help him out. I delighted in giving things to him. He wasn't a silver spoon kind of boy. That's not what I'm talking about. But just doing things for him, with him, helping him. I mean, he was dependent upon me.
Sure.
You know, he would look in a crowd if you weren't right there. I mean, they would look, you know, he never got away from me, but you could tell he was always right there with me.
Right.
And that's when it is with God.
Boy, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't that
it
good?
Is with God.
Woo. You have a comment on that, PJ?
Yeah, I was just thinking of another king, Ahaz.
Ahaz.
Ahaz,
okay.
Who was like the great, 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 great grandson of Jehoshaphat.
All righty then.
I was trying to go through here and count up how many kings were between, you know, Jehoshaphat and Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah, who was a very good king.
Yeah.
Ahaz was a pretty rotten king. And I love this verse, and I wish I brought my English Standard Version, because I love the way it puts this verse over in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. Let me see. I just had it here and it vanished. Compromise. Here we go. Verse 22, 2 Chronicles 28:22. And New American Standard says, "Now in the time of his distress, this same King Ahaz became yet more unfaithful to the Lord."
Oh, wow.
So same thing was happening. Assyria was attacking. And this same King Ahaz, I just love the way that comes, but in time of his distress, this same King Ahaz,
right,
the one who'd committed idolatry, burned his firstborn son in the fire as an idolatrous offering. God, of course, God made things really bad for him, but instead of being like Jehoshaphat and humbling himself, he turns to the enemy, basically.
Right.
And became more unfaithful to the Lord.
Whoa, okay.
And, you know, I mean, it's just such an interesting character study, because Jehoshaphat, for all his issues, like just being too closely aligned with King Ahab, he could have easily, because King Ahab was like this huge Baal worshiper. He was married to Jezebel, who was a priestess
horrible.
You know, it was just a horrible, horrible situation. Jehoshaphat could have fallen into the same thing. He didn't. It's just amazing. Same situation, overwhelmed. What does Jehoshaphat do? He turns to God. What does Ahaz do? He turns to idol worship. He turns to false gods.
And it did not turn well for him.
No.
Let's listen to this song by Myron Lefevre. I love this song. Give thanks. Give thanks. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, his Son.
Song. We did it this morning. I like their rendition of it. Mm-hmm. Give thanks. So let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. You know? Jehoshaphat right here. You know? Hey, I don't know what to do.
He's doing that.
He's doing that, don't you think?
He's saying what the word says.
Right.
And, you know, that's what, again, we talked about that earlier, that builds your faith. It gets God's attention.
Right.
Because you're, in a sense, you're reminding God. You know, it doesn't need reminding, but you're saying, okay, you are going to be, you promise to be faithful to your promise. Here's the promise I need right now.
Right. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. It is scriptural to put God on a spot like that, mm-hmm. to argue your case, to say, God, here's what your word says. God loves it when we remind him of his word. Jesus did that in Matthew 4 when he was tempted by the devil three times. He said every single time, it is written. Mm-hmm. He went back and he quoted the word. He said, this is what God says about it, you know? And so really what Jehoshaphat's doing here is, God, I remind you, hey, you are the one. You can do this. And we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And that was the fifth point. Declare your dependence on God. Did you have something, Nan?
Yes, ma'am.
I know you do. You have a poem, don't you?
Yes,
poem?
Ma'am. He just gave me a poem.
We tease her all the time because the way she says that word sounds like it's spelled P-O-Y-M.
When Betty and Megan are probably laughing at this point.
They probably are.
That's okay. I love them. Just a little poem that came when the song was playing. You don't know. It's like the person talking to God. You don't know what I face. I just don't know what to do. Please help me, Almighty God, so that I will make it through. And then his reply is, my precious, wonderful child, I'll lead you in what to do. I see where you are right now. I will help you and bring you through. Remind me of past victories. It's okay to do such. I will move. You will see. I will move with my touch.
Oh, that is just beautiful. That's great.
Isn't that cool?
So God speaks and reminds us of what he's doing, and he does it in a poem or poem. What? He does that, and go ahead. I love that.
It's prophetic poetry.
It was prophetic poetry. And that's number six, guys, if you're taking notes here, because something very interesting happens when Jehoshaphat says, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. God steps up to the plate.
God moves. God comes on the scene. He sovereignly moves in.
I love this story.
In Jehaziel.
Yes,
you know, Jehaziel. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel.
Explain that, PJ, because some people don't understand prophetic word and why that's so important.
Well, it's, in the Old Testament, of course, the Holy Spirit didn't inhabit.
Right.
He visited.
Right.
And Jehaziel got a visitation, and he spoke forth God's will
right
into this situation.
In the form of a prophetic word.
In the form of a prophecy.
That still happens today, but now we live in the dispensation of habitation, where the Holy right. Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. We're going to really do more detail on that this Wednesday night at our Bible study at 7 if you want to hear more about what that means.
Amen. Be there.
Be there, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, and how the Holy Spirit comes and inhabits you and totally changes your life. But go ahead.
Well, and I like this because God, you're right, God comes on the scene, speaks through Jehaziel, and says, okay, listen up. This is what, you know, everybody, all you inhabitants of the land, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king himself. And that was one thing about those Old Testament prophets. They had the right.
They were respected for what they were. And it's not that way in today's day and age, is it?
No, the prophets could go right into the king's presence.
Right.
They did not need an invitation. I mean, Elijah would do that. And the prophets could go right into the king's presence because that's the respect that office held. And he says here, don't fear, don't be afraid, don't or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Oh,
what a reminder that is. I mean, you mentioned it this morning. We sometimes forget that because we seem to always be the ones fighting it.
Right.
Sometimes we then try and fight it on our own.
Right.
When we forget that it's not our battle anyway. It's God's battle.
Amen.
You know, I can't win any.
Why that distinction? Explain that to our people.
I can't win any battle.
Right.
Not in my flesh. I can try and I can try and reason out what I think is going to get me through a certain situation. But I need God.
You need God.
I need that wisdom. I need that power.
We need him.
And yeah. And, you know, David. David. God gave him one victory. And praise God, David listened to the Lord. Because he went back and he used the Urim and Thummim that the priests
right.
had. And thank God he didn't just depend on how it went the last time. Because because he had, you know, he went out, faced the enemy head on. This time God said, go around behind him, wait till you hear the marching in the treetops.
Yeah, then.
And then go, because I'm with you. And
Different method. God doesn't always use the same method
right.
or the same person to minister to you.
Right.
Right.
But my point is he heard, he listened
yes.
for God to come on the scene. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we get tossed into a fiery furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they got tossed in, and who was right there with them? Jesus was right there in the furnace with them. The angel of the Lord was in the lion's den with Daniel.
Right.
Even though we get tossed into these horrible situations, we need to remember it's not our battle. He is already there with us.
Wow.
I think God was already in that furnace because the guys that tossed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in died because of the heat.
Right.
They should have died at that point too, but I think, I believe God was already there. Jesus was already in that furnace, just enveloping them.
He's already there in the midst of whatever our radio audience is going through right now. Jesus
exactly.
is already there.
He's already
on the
there.
Scene. He's already there. So, you know, we need to get the mind of God. You have something, Dan?
Yes.
All right. More poems,
more
I believe,
poems
coming our way.
More poems.
But again, you just said prophetic words coming through in the poetry. Again, would you explain that to our...
You know, prophecy... I know, Nan, I'm sorry. I'll make it quick.
No, please explain.
Okay, because, you know, we think prophecy is merely spoken, but you can prophesy scripturally with instruments.
Right.
David prophesied in the Psalms, and what are the Psalms? Poetry.
Poetry.
It's just Hebrew poetry. So singing, instruments, poetry, God uses artistic things, not just the word of our mouth.
Right.
And isn't that just like God, creative God, he loves doing artistry things? To prophesy, to show forth his will.
Amen.
In song, by instruments, poetry, whatever.
Right.
You know? That's
he can speak through.
That's a cool thing about God.
So go ahead, Nan.
That was good, Pastor Jim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Don't be fearful of what you face. You will make it through by my grace. Things will work out good for you. Resist fear is what you need to do. I will fight the battle. It is mine to fight. Don't step in the fight, but keep me in your sight. You will be victor. You will see. Pray, fast, read my word. You will be freed.
That's huge. That is a word for some people out there.
Amen. Amen.
In Radio Land.
Can we read it again just because?
I was just getting ready to say we need to read it again because, and again, this
witnesses
is.
In
go
my
ahead,
spirit.
Go ahead.
Well,
talk
witnesses
about
in
it.
My spirit, too. That's a word for somebody who's listening to this radio broadcast. So we do want to repeat it just to make sure that everybody gets a chance to hear it.
Exactly.
Because, you know, this is a real word for somebody.
It really is.
And
if you
that.
Want a copy of it and you feel it's for you, you can write me, pastor at bohmglobal.com, and I'll get the copy from Nan and get it to you. Go ahead, Nan.
Don't be fearful of what you face. You will make it through by my grace. Things will work out good for you. Resist fear is what you need to do. I will fight the battle. It is mine to fight. Don't step into that fight, but keep me in your sight. You will be victor. You will see. Pray, fast, read my word. You will be freed.
So talk to us about that, Nan.
There again, I just go back to the thought that sometimes, you know, people say, but you don't know what I'm going through. But you know what? You don't know what I've gone through, too.
Right.
You know, and we all could do that. But the thing is, what is happening? I've had some people say, and I've heard this, and I've spoken up when I've heard this. Some people say, well, you know, I have this going on, but it's not as bad as what so-and-so is going through. But just it's your battle, though. I mean,
right.
You can put degrees of level of severity, if to use better only words I can think of what, if you want to go down a line, do a list. What's the worst thing that can start happening? What's the worst thing you can face? And do severity list. But the thing of it is, if it's your reality of what is happening with you, and that's important for you
right.
to, you know, realize it's okay. You know, yours may not be as bad as Sister So-and-so's, but God probably already seen them through stuff at your level. Is wherever you are is where
right.
God will meet you.
Absolutely.
If it's an issue, if it's a problem, that's where he'll meet you. You need to pray. You need to fast if you feel so led. I know I went through a fast. I was taking some medication, and you don't just go off stupid with a fast. I mean, you got to be mindful and careful of that kind of situation, you know, because certain medications, if you take them without being on some sort of food on your stomach, you're going to get sick. You know, on a 10-day fast, I fasted. I ate just a very little something in the morning and a very little something in the evening so I could take my medication. And I didn't know how long the fast was going to last. It lasted for 10 days.
Wow. Okay.
And God showed me some things, and it was a really involved situation. It had to do with the church. It had to do with media. It was really pretty intense. I wouldn't have been prepared to know what to do if having not been to that fast. So I would encourage people. For some reason, I keep saying this fast thing, but encourage people if they can to, you know, you can fast different things. It's
right.
not necessarily just
sure.
food. You can fast, well, I'm going to give up my TV for the next 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, fast that time, and then
right.
you spend time in prayer when you would have been doing that. Spend time in prayer. Anyway,
amen.
Fasting and praying.
Well,
sorry.
And Jehoshaphat did call a fast.
Exactly.
Here. He did.
Exactly.
Wow, we're so glad you're joining us today, and we're not done. We're only halfway through, and I can't even believe it's already halfway through.
Amen.
I mean, we just love being on the air with you. You can become a financial supporter with us at Beacon of Hope for this radio ministry specifically. Just go to our website, and that is www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Go to our PayPal and become a financial donor and help support this radio ministry, which is in its 7th year. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to be back in just a moment for the next hour.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay.
Listen.
WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
Listen.
All right. There we go. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are in Clearwater, Florida, and it is not beautiful today. And it's a little cool, and it's very cloudy, and it's not exactly what we are used to around here. But anyway.
But it's still so much better than
where
we're
from. It's still so much better,
from.
Yeah, than what, yeah, because last week in Indiana, at this time, we were having those very bad storms.
And it snowed in Greenfield last night.
Well, there was snow on the ground when I landed up there this last week. And, yeah, it was kind of cold. And I had to put on my long pants and my winter jacket and all that stuff, you know. But anyway, we're just glad to be on the air with you today. I'm Pastor Marsha, along with Nan and my associate pastor, Pastor Jim. We're in 2 Chronicles 20, having a really good discussion about all of this. It's Thanksgiving. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and we had a great Thanksgiving service and meal today. It's all about learning to give thanks no matter what it is we're going through, and that's the purpose here in 2 Chronicles 20. Even though bad things are happening to the children of Judah here, it's still a time of learning the principles of God. You know, you learn more about God, Nan, when you go through hard times. That's my opinion. I mean, I think that if we never have a problem, never have an issue to use our faith, we're not going to.
I know I've grown through the problems I've dealt with.
Right. Otherwise, if everything's always great and wonderful and all peaches and cream or, you know, peachy keen.
We know. Also, we go through our struggles, but that helps us to be able to help our brothers and sisters as they go through their troubles.
It does. Struggles, learning process.
With some of the things that I have been through, and I realized as I was going through them that this is going to equip me to be able to minister and reach out to someone else who goes along with the same kind of issue or similar issue that I'm dealing with, you know, and so to help, you know, my brothers. And that's kind of how we are. We're kind of like interconnected with each other then.
Absolutely. You know? Woo. Let's listen to this song by Ray Bolts, one of our good friends. We did a show with him last year. and it's on our website if you want to go back and listen to that. Actually, this song was on there, too, and he explained it. That was a great show. Mm-hmm. Ray Bolts, thank you.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. You gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed.
One by one they came, far as the eye could see. each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, all those that have gone before us, like Jehoshaphat. That teaches us so much right here in 2 Chronicles 20 about what to do when bad things happen. And that's what we're talking about today. It's Thanksgiving Sunday. We're talking about learning to give thanks. We haven't really got to that part of the story yet in 2 Chronicles, but that's where we're headed. And we find this situation has developed that is so bad that the armies are coming. They're going to all be demolished. The children of Judah are going to be demolished. And in verse 14, God uses just an ordinary person, from all we can tell, in the scripture. And God speaks through him, and he says, here's what you need to do. Pastor Jim, talk about all that, will you?
Well, yeah, he uses a guy named Jehaziel. Spirit moves upon him. He prophesies and says, don't forget, don't fear. Remember, it's not your battle.
Right.
It's the Lord's.
Boy, we tend to forget that, don't we, guys?
And then I think we also tend to forget to do what happens next. He gives them very specific instructions on how to fight the battle. And I mentioned that in the previous hour when I talked about David. And that,
right.
Praise God, that does fit.
It does.
Because first time David went to the priest to get him, you know, to get some guidance, and went to the Lord and went to the high priest and God guidance and said, God said that time, okay, right, direct attack. Next time he said, no, go around behind him, wait till you hear me marching.
Right.
And God will do that with us. We need to get his specific instructions. And here he gave Jehaziel specific things to tell them to do, which was go down against them. Behold, they'll come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah. They're going to come. Okay, I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to come at you this way, so you need to meet them here. Okay, it doesn't get much more specific than that.
Absolutely.
And then, and so it sounds like God's telling them to go to battle, but then he says in verse 17, you need not fight this battle.
Right. Here you are. Okay. You're going down there for the battle, but guess what? You don't have to fight.
Yeah, and he says, station yourself, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you.
Right.
And just as I was reading that, it sounds a lot like what Moses told the Israelites when they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea. Stand and see the salvation of your God.
Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes we don't want to do that. We either want to rush ahead of him and go into battle before we're ready, or we want to lag behind and not do anything at all, like you talked about earlier. Well, here God specifically says, okay, they're going to come at you this way. Get on your armor, go out and stand. Don't fight, just stand there.
And in our humanness, that sounds crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the bad guys are coming. Just stand there, you know. Woo. I don't know. That's just kind of, talk to me, Nan, about that.
Sometimes we don't want to put on all that armor.
Sometimes we just want to lay around and not work.
Stay in the bed and keep the covers over our head. And, you know,
absolutely,
not
we
move
do.
Forward. But, you know, how beautiful it is when we do.
Right. When we obey.
When we
take a stand. When we get bold here. And I think it's interesting. Point six, if you're writing them down, is listen to the prophetic word, the Rhema word. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. God's going to give you specific direction. And that's what he did here to the children. He said, hey, this is what I want you to do. Go out there. But when you get there, don't worry. You're not even going to have to fight.
Right, right. And that just sounds odd because...
Odd.
And yet, I just thought of Paul's description of the armor of God. There was only one piece that was offensive, that was a weapon of offense. The rest of it was defensive. The only thing that you had that was an offensive weapon was the sword of the Spirit.
Which is the word.
Which is the word of God. So again, and what does it tell you to do in Ephesians chapter 6? To stand.
Stand.
Having done all, having put on the armor, to stand. Ooh, that just came to me.
That is right on. But why is it so important to stand? Why not just sit down and take it easy?
Well, because we can't. Because the minute we do that, we let the devil just walk all over us. By standing, some people think, well, standing, that's not doing anything. Yeah, it is. Because I know when we talked about this at church, standing is not a passive thing.
It is not.
Standing is actively standing against all the attacks of the enemy.
That's right.
It's not like we're sitting down. That's just giving in to the attacks of the enemy. Standing up is holding up your shield of faith, getting your sword out, having yourself protected by the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation on your head, the belt of truth. Those are all things that help us to stand up.
Right.
And maybe that's a slightly, I'm not saying I'm a Bible translator, but maybe that's a slightly better thing. Stand up against.
Right.
Not just stand, but I think stand up. In modern language, like stand up against it.
Right.
You know.
But so often, PJ, and I'm going to come to you on this, Nan, also, but so often people don't stand for anything.
And what's that old saying? You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Is that not right? And don't you think that that's a big problem with the body of Christ these days? People in general, they don't want to get involved. They want to just be neutral. Don't ask my opinion. I don't want to give it, you know, because...
Of course, never say that.
But, you know, let's keep peace. Let's don't do anything that would cause somebody to, you know... I mean, what if some of these people would have said, oh, no, we can't go out and fight them. Because after all, you know, we're not going to win anyway, so let's just stay home.
I remember, and I'm sorry, Nan, I know I'm stepping on you.
You're fine.
Time, but
no,
I remember my first time as pastor. One of the things was people thought my preaching was offensive.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I preached Jesus and him crucified.
Right.
You know, I did what Paul said to do.
Right.
And yet people found that offensive. And I said, well, the gospel is offensive.
Right.
Okay, you know, look at how Paul was treated, because there were a couple members and they just kind of faded away, because they were very offended by the preaching, by the strong preaching of the word and the blood and the spirit and all that.
Sure, some people are.
Yeah, and people didn't want to hear that, and it was offensive to them.
Right.
And now I forget where I was going with all that, but it's like, you know, the gospel itself is offensive.
Strong.
Yeah, it is, because it cuts like the word of God. It cuts you to the quick.
You got to do something with what you know, you're challenged.
You're challenged. You need to do something. It presents a challenge, because when you're presented the gospel,
right,
you are presented a choice.
Right.
And, you know, your eternity rests on what choice you make.
Well, and this point number six, listen to the prophetic word. Listen to what God is saying and do something about that. Don't just lay there and say, oh, that didn't apply to me. Talk to us, Nan.
I have a poem I'd like to read.
Oh, here we go. We got another poem. They're coming hot and right off the boiler.
Hot and heavy today.
Yeah, right off the boilerplate.
This one was during the song that sang, Thank You, Lord. And it's very specific for somebody. At least one person. someone who has been involved with ministry and is not now, if you're that way in listening, please really listen to this poem because it's for you. I'm there with you through it all. There's been many... I'm not through with you at all. There's been many more of you for you to minister to. Pick up your Bible, the sword of the Spirit. Get moving with it that you need to do. Things weren't right that happened to you. I saw, I was there, it was wrong. However, enough time has transpired. Get with it. My words will make you strong. Many will come to a saving knowledge of my Son. Allow me to pick you up. You will minister for me. I love you. I am with you. I am here. From the pain and hurt, you'll be freed.
Whoa. That's and pretty strong.
It's very strong.
That, you know, God's ministering to some people out there today or who will listen to this on our website and trying to encourage them to get back in the fight and to take that stand, that strong stand.
I would encourage them to do that. I was very involved with church until something really bad happened at church. And
no, you're not talking about our church.
No,
you're
no, heck,
about,
no, heck,
many
no, no,
years
no, no,
ago.
Yeah, many years ago. Way before I knew you people.
Yeah, thank you.
No, a long time
ago. You people.
You like, people.
You people. All you fine people. Back in, Lord have mercy, I don't remember how long ago it was, 92, 93, 94, 95 in that area. And, you just have to pick up and get going.
You do.
And, you know, things, you know, we've been talking here today. Why did, you know, all my bad things happening to good people. What happened wasn't right.
Right.
And we had meetings and what happened wasn't right. And I could have handled things much differently than I did. And I handled them the way God said to handle them.
Okay.
I had to leave.
Okay.
You know, it was simple. Sometimes you stay put when certain things happen. And other times God leads you to leave, and it was I hadn't done anything wrong.
Right.
I couldn't figure out why I had to leave. That, you know, someone may be thinking, it's not fair. This is what's happening to me, and I'm having to leave. I had to leave, and it wasn't fair to me. But, you know, I picked up and went to another church, found another church, and started going to.
Praise God.
You know.
If we're going to go on in God and become all we can be, there will be these crisis moments that happen in our lives. And maybe there's not an army, per se, coming at you. But maybe so much is coming at you. Loss of job, maybe loss of a spouse or a loved one, or finances, or whatever the case may be, that it feels like an army coming at you. And I've been there at this place where, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And Lord, give me your prophetic word, your rhema word to help me get through this, which is what God did through Jehaziel. And he said to people, go and stand, but just stand firm. I'll take care of it from there. And I think, Nan, these words that are coming through you as in the form of poems today are saying to somebody, you know what? Don't just lay around and give up on all that you know about your God, but get back in the fight.
Oh, I know I went several years without attending church. And, well, you were telling the story today at lunch about how I wound up coming to Beacon. And I would like to share that with the people listening, how God can do things. I was like, all of a sudden, the Klibukani had ministered to me for 3 years before I ever walked into Beacon.
Just texting.
And she was my text buddy. And when I was in a crisis, I would text her, and she'd send me back some maybe how to handle it. And, you know, it was back and forth texting for 3 years. And so I came to a church on Wednesday night, and I felt so, I don't know what the emotion was, I felt just, wow. Walked outside, looked up to God and said, you know, and I said, God, I just don't know about this, and, you know, trying to get back in church, and I wasn't really sure, and everyone was really nice and friendly and loving. I mean, people were really nice to me. There was no issues there. They were great.
Just amazing in itself. They were nice to you.
Right? I know. They didn't know me yet.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
But then, you know, and I walked, and it was like, okay, God, I'm going to go 7 Wednesday nights. And if I don't feel like this is where I'm supposed to be after 7 Wednesday nights, I will not walk here anymore. I will not go anywhere. And it was probably about 2 or 3 Wednesday nights. All of a sudden, I realized, this is home.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, God moves us around in different places, and circumstances happen in our lives that we wind up being in attendance at another church. I cannot imagine not being a Beacon. of all the places that I have been, Beacon, and I've been in, you know, several churches through my adult life, Beacon is the friendliest, warmest one that I've felt. You know, so what, maybe someone who is, who's hurt in a church situation and hasn't been attending for a while, or maybe they were in charge of a church and something happened to them. You know, there's other places for you to go, and there's somewhere right. that God wants us all somewhere, and he knows where we need to be, and they need
Praise
to trust
God.
Him and listen to the words that he's speaking to them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Mm. Okay, so point number seven from all this is, and it goes along with what you just said, don't be afraid, don't waver, stand firm. Stand firm in what you know, because that's what this prophetic word said. Don't be afraid. Get out there. Stand firm. Don't just, you know, chicken out, quote unquote, but get out there, you know. And so what happened in verse 20? PJ, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, could I jump back up to verse 18 first? I love their response. Jehaziel gives this prophecy, gives them specifically what to do, tells them they all they have to do is stand there. And then Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That was their response to this prophetic word. They worshiped God.
Right.
You know, they heard this, they believed, they worshiped God. And then they got up the next morning. Now, and I think sometimes, you know, God gives us a word, and then we wake up the next morning,
and we're just like, well,
and maybe that wasn't for me, or you know, it's like I've done that. Well, do I really want to do this? You know,
right?
It's like the word that I've gotten from two separate sources now, well, three, considering one of them was me. What do I want to do with that? I mean, when I wake up tomorrow morning, what am I going to do with that?
Exactly.
Well, when they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, and sometimes we need somebody to remind us and encourage us. And here's Jehoshaphat saying, listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Number one, put your trust in the Lord your God.
Amen.
And you will be established. I like that. You will be established.
Right.
Put your trust in his prophets and you will succeed.
Amen.
Okay? Trust in the Lord and you'll be established. I just look at that as being grounded, rooted, get set in bedrock. And then put your trust in his prophets and you'll succeed. Put your trust in the word.
Amen.
And you'll succeed. You'll have success. I love that. And then he goes on to say, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire.
Right.
As they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And, okay, shades of Joshua going around Jericho, but it's the same thing. Okay, the army's all ready to go, and out walks this band of Levites, probably with trumpets and tambourines and whatever.
Right.
Praising God and saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy, his loving kindness, his steadfast love endures forever.
Right.
That must have looked kind of nutsy to those invading armies. I mean, what is this? They're entertaining us before the slaughter? What is this? You know, they're giving us entertainment before the slaughter.
Ooh.
But then, and I love this, in verse 22, and when they began singing and praising the Lord, the Lord sent ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, and so they were routed. So the Lord set ambushes.
Mm.
And what we find out happens is they actually killed each other. They got so confused, they killed each other.
And we're going to talk about the confusion after this song. I love that. Let's listen to this by the Katinas. Thank you.
Just a little while longer, wanna pray. Can get you off of my soul, came to say thank you, Lord, just for loving me. Many times I do forget, every need that you have met. Oh, thank you, Lord, I know you're showing me.
are there when I am down and out. You're holding me. Your love is so amazing. Oh, it changed me. Here I am, fall I have, raise my hands to worship.
Praise God. Love that song.
Oh, that's a great song.
Isn't that a great song by the Katinas? It's all about thanking him. And that's the place we get to. If you're taking notes and want these points, number 7 was don't be afraid, don't waver, stand firm. And now we get to the next one. March out boldly. God is with you. That's number 8. March out boldly. God is with you. Guys, when God gives you a word and says, hey, I'm going to take care of this, and here's what I want you to do, just move forward. He's been saying that to us in the ministry for a while. You know, with the new building we just got, we're marching out boldly. We're not wavering. And, Nan, you've got something again.
I do.
And this is wild, isn't it?
This is wild.
God is just really speaking to your heart through poems.
Really,
and that's great.
A lot. You don't see how things will come together. Don't worry about that. It is in my hands. Believe my word. Trust me. I see it all. That's all that through all that's occurred, you'll become strong. Get up. Arise up out of your bed. I am here. I will be work it all out for you. I love you, child. You mean so much to me. Things will be okay. They'll work out for you. Trust me. Praise me. Reach out to me. You will receive the direction that you need. Things are working together for your good. Oh, how wonderful things will be indeed. Child, I love you, your father.
Whoa. That's for somebody. These have been specifically for somebody out there.
I feel that.
And maybe more than one somebody.
Maybe
a lot of times
that's
how the Holy Spirit does it.
Right.
So what's he saying?
He's saying people need to rise. They need to shake themselves. I mean, I shook myself. It was like all of a sudden, like one day, it was like, oh, I'm not going to church anymore. Yeah, I hadn't been going to church for years. All of a sudden, one day, suddenly it seemed that way, but it was like one day, all of a sudden, you know, I wasn't, and I started going to Beacon, you know, and I feel like there's feels for multiple people. Some, at least one, is for someone who's been in ministry.
Okay.
Who has been hurt in ministry and something
and
has happened in
that
ministry.
Most of us have been hurt in ministry.
Yes, we have.
That's yeah. the way it works.
You know, but something so overwhelming happened. And I just feel like they're really listening to what you guys are saying. They're really listening to the show today. They're listening to the points that are being made from this passage of Scripture. But I think God is just saying to them, get up, get going. It's okay. It's time now.
So point eight is march out boldly.
Mm-hmm.
God is with you. Okay? And then you got to believe it. You're marching, it's one thing, but believing in your heart that something's going to be there. And Jehoshaphat appoints this choir. Now, that had to be the result of this word that God gave him. Here's how we're going to do it. You're going to march out. But you know what? You're just going to stand there because the choir is going to do all the work. Which, how weird is that?
Well, and that happened other times. And, you know, Jehoshaphat himself here in verse 20 gave a prophetic word. And then what does he do? He sets up the choir.
Right.
You know, Joshua had done that.
Right.
And in a sense, he wasn't singing, but in the general thing of praise, when the Amalekites attacked, Moses stood there, and it says with his arms up. Well, that's an attitude of praise.
Prayer. Yeah, and praise.
And and when those arms started to droop, the enemy started to win. So eventually, Aaron and Hur had to hold up his arms. And as long as that was going on, as long as that, and it's so symbolic of praise, then Israel won. And Israel got the victory that day because of praise.
Praise is the key. Thanksgiving is the key to victory. And what? How do we start our services? We start with praising God.
Praise and worship, yeah. Praise
Rarely
and thanksgiving.
Rarely do we ever start with the sermon and then work our way the other direction. I mean, it's usually with thanksgiving and praise.
It was wild today, I thought. I think we've already kind of hedged on it the first hour, but it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, as soon as church started, the Lord really just spoke to me and said, there's going to be a powerful anointing. And it did, I mean, from the first song all the way through everything and then carried over even to the radio show. You know, I believe the anointing is there.
Oh, absolutely.
It is here.
I could tell it was there because of the way I played the tambourine this morning.
I noticed that, too.
I was wild on that thing.
So was Christine on hers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was cool. That was very cool.
Woo!
But you're right. I mean, when the anointing's there, and I mean, it's the last scripture that we went over this morning in church was Psalm 100.
Right.
You know, make a joyful noise to the Lord,
yes,
all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's what brings you into the presence of God.
Yes.
And here it works two ways. Not only did they enter into the presence of God, but what does Psalm 22:3 say? He sits enthroned on the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. As they praised him, God came on the scene.
Absolutely.
And totally routed the enemy.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes as you begin to praise God. Because think about it. If you don't believe in what you're saying when you're praising God, and you just think, I'm singing a song. But if you believe that when you are praising God in these songs and whatever, that something is changing, the devil is getting more and more reticent. Let's put it this way. Praise confuses the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So point nine here is believe firmly in God and your lives will be firm, because that's what Jehoshaphat says to them in verse 20. He says, believe firmly in God, your God, and your lives will be firm. Believe in your prophets and you'll come out on top. After talking it over with the people, I'm in verse 21 of 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat appointed a choir for God, dressed in holy robes. They were to march ahead of the troops, singing, give thanks to God, his love never quits. I find this fascinating. They were to sing two specific concepts. They were to give thanks to God, his love never quits. Talk to me.
Well, giving thanks, you can give thanks to God because his love, and the Hebrew word there is chesed, his steadfast love, his covenant love, his loving kindness, his kindness toward us, never quits, never ends. It's eternal.
It's always there.
That's a reason to give thanks to God.
Amen.
Because that love he has for us, some translations will translate it grace, some steadfast love. It covers all those concepts. It never ends.
Never. Our minds can't even imagine that.
Lamentations, they are new every morning.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen. And yeah, what a wonderful reason to give thanks to the Lord. And that's just one. I mean, that's kind of the all-encompassing reason. I mean, there's the little reasons, you know, healed you, or not that right. That's a little reason, or, you know, helped you out of a financial situation.
Specific
or whatever.
Answers to prayer.
But this is kind of the global.
This is it.
This is global Thanksgiving. We can praise God because he's good.
Yes.
And his mercy, his loving kindness, his steadfast love endures forever.
Woo! So what we're doing is we're reminding God, oh, God, we give you thanks because you love us so much and you never quit loving us. Nan, talk to me about that. He never quits loving us, regardless how ornery we might be.
In our finite minds, it's very difficult to be able to comprehend that, because it's like when he was still loving me when I was doing stupid stuff, you know, and I wouldn't have loved me necessarily, depending on what was going on, you know, but his love, you know, I wasn't so outlandish or anything like that. But I mean, just walking away from God, trying to walk away from God is pretty stupid.
Right.
having done that.
But he's never quit loving you, right?
He has never quit loving me.
All right. Even, and some of our listeners out there may feel like you're kind of away from God right now. And here's the answer right here. Begin to give God thanks and remind him that he has never quit loving you.
Right.
Because that's what he's reminding you right now. He has not quit loving you, dear one. His love never quits. Go ahead.
Well, and it's just so important. I mean, you know, I've done the same thing. There was a period of time in my life when I did not want anything to do with God. I mean, you know, I felt like he had almost betrayed me in a sense.
You were mad at God. There's a lot of people that get that way.
You know, and I'm just here to say he can take your anger. Okay?
Right.
But I was mad at God. I wanted to do my own thing. I felt like he didn't do what he'd promised, and it was just me being stupid, like Nan, you know, like Nan said, you know, kind of sometimes in our stupidity.
Oh, like Nan.
No, like Nan said. Like Nan said. Not like Nan does. Nan has the wisdom of God, the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So,
That's good. That's good.
Good positive confession.
Good positive confession. Thank you, Heather.
But I mean, really, God can take that. And, you know, we can be thankful because I think that, you know, his loving kindness endures forever. He's not going to give up on us.
Amen.
You know, we can try and give up on him. And
oh, sometimes we do. You know, I'm done with God, people say sometimes. Or right? I don't believe anymore. I'm done. You know, I've heard that many times.
Right. But you know what? He's still there.
And
all you got to do
still
is.
Still coming after you. Right. With the hound of heaven. We
the hound
call
of
him.
Heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah, and believe
he's still trying to invade your space.
Right, and you can outrun him, but that gets so tiring.
Because he never gives up.
Amen.
Right.
When I was in my Noah days, remember my Noah days?
Noah days.
No, Jonah days.
I don't know about your Noah days.
There were your Asher days and then your Jonah days.
That's right. Your Jonah
days. Running from God can get kind of tough.
It can.
Because when you run away, he's everywhere anyway. So you're not
That's
getting
right.
away
you
from him.
You can't get away from him.
You can't get away from him. He just exhausts you.
Yeah.
Well, and like the psalmist says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence?
Amen.
If I go, it doesn't matter where on earth I go, I can go to heaven, I can go to the grave. You're still there.
Right.
I can't get away from you. And, you know, why, I mean, I look back and I think, I know why I did the things I did. But boy, I wish I had the wisdom I have now. Because things could have been immensely different.
There may be some people out there today, though, PJ, that are thinking, I don't really need God that much. I don't even know why I'm listening to this show. You know, there might be some out there that are going, well, how does this apply to me? Because we all have difficult things that happen in our lives. Bad things do happen to good people.
Right.
And this chapter is a wonderful picture essay of how much God loves us, regardless of how much we don't love him. Let's
right,
say.
And the outcome is based on what we do.
Right.
How do we react to these trials, these horrible issues when they come? We can either reject God, or we can be like Jehoshaphat. We can be like Ahaz and just give up and go the enemy's way.
Right.
Or we can be like Jehoshaphat and stay true to the Lord and see victory.
Amen. Because this victory came because they listened to the prophet of the Lord. They were committed to a fast and prayer together, prayer of agreement. They sought the Lord. They were dependent on him because they said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then when God said, here's what I want you to do, let's let the choir guys go first.
They were obedient.
They were obedient, and the choir sang what they were supposed to sing. The choir did not sing, oh, God, where are you? This is awful. We are desperate. We are in a mess. Oh, 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 oh. You know, that was not the choir song.
Right. The choir song was, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever.
Oh, my. Ooh, whoa. Praise God. Whatever you're going through out there right now, God knows. Okay? But it's interesting that he always wants us to become involved in our answer. I mean, we are. It's kind of a paradox in a way, PJ. We've got to be dependent totally on him. But we also have to step up to the plate.
Methodist that I am, I'm biggie on free will.
Right.
And I do believe that. I believe that's scriptural because God doesn't want robots.
Right.
He wants us to love him because we want to love him.
Amen.
He wants us to give him a response of love. And we have a choice. We can
do
that. Or we don't. Or we don't do that.
And we can get so bogged down with the circumstances that we can't see the forest for the trees, proverbially here. But I mean, it's so easy to have that happen. Get so discouraged that we just don't fight. And guys, how easy is it? We are fighting with praise.
Right.
We're not fighting physically, but we are fighting spiritually. And what comes out of your mouth is so important. If you, I mean, what does it say in Proverbs that the fruit of our lips, I mean, that's what it's all about, brings a snare or brings a blessing, basically. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Power of the tongue.
That's what I'm looking for. It is 2018, 1820.
Yeah, 1820.
1820. Okay, so death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what comes out of your mouth? What came out of the mouths of this choir members? That went before. I mean, some of them could have been going, oh my gosh, we're going to get shot down first before the army. We're goners. Instead, they put on their choir robes. I mean, they dressed. We got to dress in our righteousness. I never got to all that today. But we got to dress in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Mm-hmm. We got to put on our robe of righteousness, and we got to go forward into battle, and we got to give thanks before we see the victory. That whole thing of before we see the victory is something that I've been learning for years, and sometimes I remember it, and sometimes I forget it. You know what I'm saying? Talk to me about that.
Well, yeah, it's easy. I mean, especially when you've been, you know, we've all, the three of us here, have been Christian for a long, long, long time. And, you know, there's been some humps in the road, like our first song had talked about.
Right.
But, yeah, I found when I, because praise tunes my head.
That's right.
Toward God.
It does.
And that makes everything else kind of pale by comparison. And I get my eyes off of the problem, you know, because look at what we read first in First Chronicles 20, verses 6 through 9. That was kind of on, eyes on the problem. But then praise starts to move you off of that. You get your eyes back on God. And,
right.
And like I said, he sits enthroned on the praises of his people.
Right.
God comes on the scene. Woo! And starts to move in your behalf.
And as we adopt that attitude and it comes out of our mouth, life begins to speak. We're giving you thanks, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We may not see it immediately that our circumstances are changing, but they are, because praise and giving thanks, attitude of gratitude is the secret to answered prayer. And guys, if you don't get anything else from this show, write that down. Your attitude of gratitude as it comes out of your mouth, not just an attitude that stays in your knee somewhere, but an attitude that comes out of your mouth, that registers on your face, is what's going to change your circumstances.
Well, when you're doing that, when you're praising, you know, you're here, like you say, you're hearing yourself
you're speaking yourself, your ears are hearing you speak it. It does something, you know. I mean, I know that when I can turn on the radio show, Christian radio program, or I'm sorry, Christian radio station, or praise and worship music, it just seems to I become very engulfed in, it's going to be okay. It's mm-hmm. really going to be
it
okay.
It lifts you up.
You know, it
lifts
it you up. Does lift you up. It
Give
does.
Thanks. Whoa, it changes you. Listen to this new song by Casting Crowns. I haven't even heard this one yet. Thank you, Connie, for putting this on. All You've Ever Wanted.
I just looked up today and realized how far away I am from where you are. You gave me life worth dying for, but between the altar and the door, I bought the lies that promised more. Here I go again. All my deeds and my good name are just dirty rags that tear and strain to cover all my guilty stains that you already washed away. 'Cause all you've ever wanted, all you've ever wanted, all you've ever wanted was my heart. The freedom's on the road here, my chains. I've been made well. I was fighting battles when you conquered hell. Living free but from a prison cell. Lord, I'll lay it down today. So I'll stop living off of how I feel. Start standing on your truth revealed. Jesus is my strength, my shield. And he will never fail me. 'Cause all you've ever wanted.
My heart. That's all, God. You just want my heart. What? You want me to have a heart after you, and that your life in me is more important than anything else. And that's why I can give thanks, because you love me so much, because I understand all you want from me is everything. Ha! All you want is my heart, Nan. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to be sold out to him, and we desire him and living the way he wants us to more than anything else.
And many times people try to offer other types of things than just, they don't want to surrender their whole heart. They'll throw extra in the offering plate. You know, they'll volunteer to help with the church dinner or go to a nursing home visitation, just, you know, whatever, thinking their works, you know, will get them somewhere. And God's not wanting all he wants, their heart.
I was thinking that song by Keith Green, "To Obey Is Better Than Sacrifice." It talks in there about just giving an offering, you know. Faith without works is dead, and it works the other way too. Works without faith is meaningless. And you can do all these wonderful things, but if you don't have the faith behind it, all you're doing is wearing yourself out.
That's it.
And, you know, God wants your heart because that's where the change starts.
Oh, amen.
Is in your heart.
Yes.
And that's sometimes the toughest thing to do. I can easily give God my brain, my intellect, but he wants deeper than that.
He wants us to be so in love with him that when we sing these words, I give you thanks, Lord, your love endures forever. Your love, you love me so much that we understand it. And it fills our hearts on the inside because we understand that when we give him thanks, he loves it. And when we say, oh, you love us so much, he goes, oh, now you're getting it, my baby. Now you're getting it, you know? And that's when things change. I mean, when you see the end of the story, they end up taking 3 days' worth of bounty after the war. Basically, the bad guys, they praise confused the enemy. Bad guys fought each other.
Mm-hmm.
They all ended up dead. And I've got hiccups here. So the children of Israel or Judah go in and just take all this bounty. Talk to me about it, Nan, so I can get some water here.
Okay. No problem.
Or I'm going to hiccup on the air.
Okay, well, we wouldn't want you doing that. It ended in a way they probably couldn't have fathomed how wonderful it was going to end.
Good point.
It ended very beautifully for them.
Yes.
You know, and I think as we go through the struggles maybe that we face, and you've pointed out point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of out of the scripture, then hopefully people were writing it down. Or if not, go back and listen to the radio show and write it down. You know, as they were obedient in doing all those things that they were directed to do by the minister of the Lord. They were
Amen.
They were obedient, and the end of it was fantastic.
Oh, look at the results.
It was great.
So number 10 was go forward giving thanks before the victory. Go forward giving thanks before the victory. That's number 10.
Which is, of course, exactly what they did. They went out before the victory.
Yes.
Singing.
Yeah.
And praising God. And boom, God did that. And, you know, I was thinking there was that other time in the northern kingdom when they were starving and the armies of Assyria had surrounded Samaria. And Elisha this time said, the prophet Elisha said, okay, by tomorrow at this time, you'll have more food than basically you'll know what to do with.
Right.
Well, the one guy just didn't believe the prophet.
Right.
And what happens is these lepers were outside. They decided to give themselves up to the enemy. Well, God had already moved on the enemy. They found the camp deserted.
Right.
Full of booty, full of food, full of clothes, everything they needed.
Yes.
And they went back, reported it to the king, and they went to check it out. And sure enough, God had moved, and the prophet's words became true. And, you know, God brings us out of a place of trial into a place of abundance.
Amen. And that, number 11, is God confuses the enemy as we praise. And number 12 is then we arrive at that miracle, that abundance, that valley of Barakah, God's blessing, that place where we would not have gotten to if we've not gone through all these steps and all these different things that God has brought us to. Oh, my. Oh, my. Dear one out there, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now and we pray for our listeners. Lord, you know who they are. We don't, but you know what's going on in their lives. And, Lord, we just speak that they will hear these words, that they will desire to have your answer to their problems, that they will desire to praise you and give you thanks in regardless of what's going on. And that they will indeed get to that place where they see the abundance and see the answers. They'll get to their valley of blessing. Lord, Amen. We pray that for every one of them right now in the name of Jesus. Bring it about. Let these words that we have spoken today just get down on the inside of their hearts and let them realize the miracle potential that is within them as they practice these principles of giving thanks and praising no matter what is going on. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in each one of our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Final thoughts, Nan. We're winding down here.
My final thoughts is another poem that he gave.
Well, of course it is.
It's kind of different than the others, but this is the Thanksgiving season. There can be hustle and bustle in your day. Be sure to take time for me. Thank me for all your blessings as you pray. There may be challenging things you face. Please spend time with me making a list. Itemize the blessings in your life. Consider them all as from me a kiss. You may feel sad or alone or in pain. Remember the blessings in your life. I am with you through all of your days and have helped you with all your strife.
Woo!
Amen.
You can get copies of all these poems today.
I'll type them and send them to you if anyone wants them.
Pastor at BOHMglobal.com. Go ahead.
Just, wow. Again, where does the time go?
2 hours went very quickly.
I know, very quickly. But and it's almost like we could have gone on another hour explaining just in this one chapter.
There's
so much in there. But I just want to agree with Nan in her poems that, you know, this has been a day of this is these everything we said, I believe, is for, well, more than one person out there. But I mean, really, not just generally, we want you to hear and really be touched by this. But this was specific stuff, which is unusual. I mean, this much specific stuff for specific people.
Amen.
And but that, again, that goes back to the point we made earlier. That just shows how good God is and that his mm-hmm. steadfast love is everlasting.
Woo!
He is
Amen.
Constantly trying to draw us back to himself.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So whoever you are, if you want to talk to us, you can contact me, Pastor at BOHMglobal.com, Pastor Jim at BOHMglobal.com. Our prayer line, prayers at BOHMglobal.com. And we look forward to being with you next week. We hope you have a great time with your families and friends on Thanksgiving. Give thanks from the bottom of your heart. That's the message today. Get into 2 Chronicles 20 when you have time. Meditate on it. God wants to teach you a lot. We welcome you to visit us at Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida, 10:30 on Sunday mornings and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And bring your Bible and a notebook and come and learn the Word with us. And go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. You can learn all about us and our new location, brand new location mm-hmm. since September. God is moving mightily. It's been Nan, Pastor Jim, and me, Pastor Marcia, saying God bless you. Have a great week, and we will see you live on the air again next Sunday at 3 o'clock Tampa time. Have a great week. God bless you.
Arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.